This is Eileen Rosen, Chair of the Pacifica National Audit Committee, calling this meeting to order at 8:32 on September 17th, 2018. All right, so Madam Secretary, will you take the roll, please?
Yes, thank you.
Eileen Rosen?
Here.
Julie Hewitt? He's not here. Senin Roberts? Elaine Duncan? Jaime Gomez? Ken Laufer?
I saw that Ken logged on.
Yes, he's Ken. Are you mute?
Oh, yes, I'm muted. Yes, here. I'm here. Sorry.
Thank you. Adriana Casnavi here. Grace Aaron?
Here.
Carol Travis? Jane Sagur?
Carol wrote, yeah, Carol wrote to say she wouldn't make it tonight.
James is here.
Thank you. Adriana Violette?
Here.
Akila Washington?
Here.
Paulina Vasiliev?
Here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have quorum.
Great. Thank
seven
you,
members.
Madam Secretary. All right. Let's see. Let's check my notes. Okay. So do we have any timekeepers or volunteer to be timekeeper tonight? Volunteer?
This is Grace. I can be a timekeeper for the people.
Okay. You know, since we just sort of go as much as we need to, that should be enough. Maybe you could just keep an eye on also if we're getting, you know, to an hour's worth, you know, make sure we don't creep too close to that. Okay.
Paulina Vasiliev, point of information.
Go ahead, Paulina.
I will have to leave by 7 p.m. For a work commitment. Do I need to let everyone know? I mean, I'm just letting everyone know. Yeah.
Wait, 7 p.m.
By 7 p.m. I have to be out. I'll have to hang up to teach.
Oh, 10 o'clock our time, right?
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, 7 p.m.
Yeah, we should be most of the way through everything, I should think, if not totally done, I hope. So thank you for letting us know. Okay.
Madam
Chair. All right. Yes, Madam Secretary.
We have Julie Hewitt here, too.
Oh, great. Okay.
Hi.
Hi, Julie. All right. So, we have timekeeper, we have roll call. Can we approve the agenda? Does anybody have any objections or changes or anything? None heard. The agenda, the modified agenda, which is the second one I sent you all, stands as sent to you all, okay?
Can you read it for the stream, Madam Chair?
Yes. After this, we will have the approval of draft minutes from August 20th, our last open meeting. That will be followed by updates from the chair and or other committee members. I left a half hour for that to discuss progress on pension audits and management of pension plans, and progress on the general audit and the timeline for that. That's followed by action items and any other new business to select a new meeting date, the next meeting date, and then adjourn to a closed meeting. So let us move forward. We received the draft minutes earlier today. Does anyone have any comments on them or changes that need to be incorporated? If none are heard, I move that we approve these minutes. Any objections? All right. Those minutes are approved. Thank you, everyone.
The minutes of August 20, 2018, right?
Yes. Correct. The open meeting. All right. let's see. On the progress on the audits, there's kind of a lot of information, and I didn't have a lot of time to organize it very well, but in general terms, on the pension audits, you may remember that last time the firm RENA, the people who are auditing our pension plans, had turned in a draft audit of the 403B plan. And our ERISA attorneys did not accept it the way it was. They made suggestions, et cetera. Apparently, these suggestions have been incorporated, and let's see, and it's done. The 403B audit will be finalized this week. Tucker Huss, which is the firm of the ERISA attorneys, says that the problems in the original draft have been addressed. So at least we are going to catch up with the 403B audit. I believe that is for fiscal year 2016. But we'll still have to move forward on 2016.
This is Jamie Gomez. I'm here.
Hi, Jamie. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, I have you. Thank you.
All right. I think 2016 was the first year we had to have an audit of the 403B plan because it finally had enough participants in it to require an audit. As far as the 401A, also known as the retirement plan, what I was told is that we have an agreement, I guess, with the union to fix the pension plan for KPFK in Los Angeles. I guess, I'm not sure if it was Pacifica that came up with this or somebody else working on all this, maybe the pension auditors, but they came up with the schedule of all the employees and their information, and both AFTRA and the Tucker Huss firm said they were satisfied with that listing, and then I guess they have then calculated what is owed to people. Apparently, the total cost in Los Angeles is going to be around $160,000. The station already has $100,000 in hand and I believe has scheduled a couple of other payments to be made in the near future. Tom Livingston told me that they believe that Berkeley will be more or less on the same scale. What I'm not clear on is what happens with the other three stations, who I imagine all had pension plans that, you know, if employees are expecting to receive those payments, what is happening with those. Now, I finally understood a little bit more about why it might be optional. In 2009, was when Pacifica switched from a required contribution plan to the quote-unquote profit-sharing plan, which said that if we had the money to do so, we would make pension contributions. I guess that was making it optional. And this worked fine until about 2013. The only exception was that in the CBA, what is it, the Cooperative Bargaining Agreements for the two California stations, the money was not shown as optional. It was shown as, it was stipulated, but it was not paid into employees' individual accounts. So that's the difference, perhaps, between those two and the rest of us. But I'm still kind of, I would still ask about that to confirm that that was true. As far as Tom understands, all the payments for the 403B plans have been made, both for those of you who may not remember, those are the plans where an employee puts in a given amount from their own paycheck, and Pacifica will match up to, I believe it's 4% of someone's salary if the employee has put in that much. Tom, has he seen documentation that shows that all of that has been paid? So we might be in good shape. I realized just this very moment that I did not ask him if that was to date or just through 2016 or through 2017. But either way, I think we're definitely making a lot of progress. Let's see. I'm just checking
my notes. Adriana, is a point of information?
Go ahead, Adriana.
Madam Chair, you are reading all this information. Do you have any report on this? Because I'm a director from the PMB and keep asking the same question, and I don't have any of that information. How you got
information? I don't have a written report. Tom got some of this information just today or within the past couple of days, some of it today. And, I spoke to him on the phone. I spoke to him on the phone and took these notes. So that's
okay. Do you think that you can send those notes in writing to us, Madam Chair? Because it's the first information that at least I have on that.
I understand. I can't guarantee that I'll do it this week, but I can put it together. Maybe Tom can help me fill in the blanks. So let me see what I can
do. Do you have the report that Rina?
No, I haven't seen it. I think it's not finalized. I think it's going to be emitted this week sometime.
Okay.
I think, Trucker Huss reviewed it and is fine with it. So, they still have to print it out without the, background watermark that says draft and sign it and things like that. So I hope that we can see that soon. But let me make a note, okay? Give me a second.
Thank you.
All right. Put together.
Serene with a point of information.
Hi, Serene. How are you? Give me a second just to finish this.
Yes.
Is this a point or a request for information?
I have a question.
Okay. Our parliamentarian pointed out to us that if you have a question, you say request for information, and if you know some information you want to contribute, you say point of information. Hardly anybody does that. So anyway, put together a report on the pension to share with AC. Okay. All right. What is that, Serene?
Okay. So back in, I think it was June or July, we had requested a report from the IED about various people who are involved in the pension plans, et cetera, and what their position is and what the status of things were. And I'm still looking for a written report. Asked IED for a report, and I'll speak here for myself only because perhaps others have a different understanding of what that means. What I'm looking for is a written response containing the details that we requested, not a report from the chair repeating or reporting on various conversations had over time, because I cannot easily go back to the point in the audio when I want to find out what was conveyed to us. An email that actually contains the information we requested is far more helpful, and I thought we talked about this last month as well. It seems that we're still missing that written report. When is that going to happen?
Well, I can't guarantee when that's going to happen. Again, I can write up what I have and will continue to relate in this meeting and ask Tom to fill in any holes and get that to you guys. And that's what I've got for you. I understand, but
little,
you know, that's what I've got.
I'm more than a little frustrated at this dance that we seem to do at every meeting. We request information and we get a report of a conversation. I understand that there's other work that needs to be done. If someone wants to helpfully draft a report that he then reviews, but we shouldn't have to keep repeating the same questions and raising the same points month after month. Otherwise, it's a waste of our time and listener money doing a call.
Okay. Noted. Sorry, I'm taking notes. Nevertheless, would you like to hear, would the group like to hear more about the current status of the audit, of the general audit? I think
yes.
I finished with the pension audit. Okay. Well, actually, a few more points on the pension plan is that we do have all the people in place now, and it's on my to-do list to write up who they are, because I need to keep them straight. There's, aside from Trucker Huss, who are the ERISA lawyers, we have a third-party administrator for our plans, and I think that is the firm called Premark. We got hold of the former third-party administrators, and they were able to hand over a lot of information that apparently has clarified a lot of things. So, you know, it makes that a lot easier. I'm going to get names of all the contacts at these places just so we can make sure that we can get in touch with them if and when we need to. This is a little bit off the subject, but I still think it's worth you guys knowing, and somebody from the PNB can probably say it better, describe it better than I can. You'll remember last time we talked about how there was a committee formed on the PNB, an administrative committee to sort of oversee the pension plans in general. Several people had apparently volunteered to be on that committee, which I understand were Grace, Carol, and Tom, Grace Aaron, Carol Travis, and Tom Livingston. But I think that was revisited in one of the PNB meetings that I didn't quite listen to all the way through. At the same meeting, it was decided that new trustees would be appointed since Sam Agarwal and Bill Crozier had been the trustees, but they both resigned that, I think, at the beginning of this year. I am now one of the trustees, as is Alex, I think, Randall from one of the, what do you call them, one of the subscriber stations. He's in the Virgin Islands.
Affiliate director from one of the affiliates.
Right. So the two of us will be trustees, and I think there's not a lot for us to do. There's more for this committee, the PNB committee, to do. And there is a charter written up, I guess a charter or bylaws, stating what their duties are. I'm not sure who ended up on that committee. Is there someone here from the PNB who did understand or who could explain this to us?
Adriana?
Yes, I can.
Okay, well, let's let Adriana first go first, and then Grace.
Well,
Adriana, what's your...
Yes, in the last PNB meeting, in the open session, everybody can listen to the open session.
Okay.
Was a resolution of the Pacifica National Board establishing an administrative committee and appointee of trustees. The administrative committee obviously was a very clear violation of the bylaws, because the bylaws are very clear that Article 8, other committees of the Board of Directors, Section 2, composition of the board committees, said that provided, however, that if they are in election for more than one committee member, then the board shall use the single transferable method of voting to select committee members. The majority of the PNB didn't allow that to happen. And obviously, was another director that we believe that represents a little bit more of the diversity of the board. And because the problem that with the three members that they were offering, all of them represent one part of the board and represent not only, one part of the board, represent the two stations where the motion plans occur. Then we should be correct to add to that committee one member that wasn't directly interested because it's not from the West Coast. And according to the bylaw, that selection needs to be done with a single transferable method of voting, and that wasn't allowed. A simple majority of the board obviously double through and select Tom Livingstone, Grace Aaron, and Carol Travis, violating the bylaws. That is exactly what happened in the last open meeting of the PNB, and everybody can listen to. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for that information. Grace, you were up next.
Yes, I believe that Adriana's information is incorrect. This committee is not a committee of the Pacifica National Board. The word committee is... was requested by the pension plan administrator, basically, but it is not a formal committee of the Pacifica National Board. However, it was appointed by the Pacifica National Board at an earlier meeting. Four people were on it originally because four people volunteered to be on the committee. Myself, Carol Travis, Tom Livingston, and Mansoor Sabah. Because there were no other volunteers, there was no necessity for any kind of a vote. We were the only people who stepped up to volunteer to be on that committee. Later on, the pension plan administrator requested that the committee be composed of only three people. So Mansoor stepped down, and so that made the committee composed of myself, Carol Travis, and Tom Livingston. That was approved. These objections that Adriana is mentioning were rejected. Her argument by the National Board, her argument that this is a violation of the bylaws, was also rejected by the National Board. And the National Board approved the bylaws of this committee and approved the appointment of myself, Carol Travis, and Tom Livingston, and the appointment of Eileen Rosin and Alexander Randall as trustees of the pension funds.
Okay. I believe I did read in the document, which I would need to read again, that, the representatives on the committee can be replaced at any time or step down, others can come on. So I think it's still a little bit of an evolving process. I'm not entirely sure. But actually, it's not part of the, competency of this committee. I just wanted, the important thing, I think, is to know is that there is attention being placed by the PNB on the pension plans, because this committee, however it ends up, is meant to supervise it, oversee the pension plans, make sure that investments are happening correctly, that everything's being done on time and the way it should be. And I think there'll probably be ideally quarterly reviews of some sort, whatever this committee comes up with.
Madam Chair, point of request for information, Paulina Vasilyev.
Is that Serene?
From Sorry? Paulina Vasilyev.
From Paulina, and then Serene was on the stack. Okay, go ahead, Paulina.
I heard Ms. Aaron say that the pension plan administrator requested or demanded that the committee be only formed of three members. What is exactly the basis for that? Because from what I understand, committees are formed by the board of directors and not by third parties dictating what those rules should be. So it seems somewhat ad hoc. If Ms. Aaron, perhaps, and Ms. Kathleen, who is also a board member and on part of this committee, could explain what was going on, as well as I don't quite understand now how many people form this quote-unquote committee that is not a committee, according to Ms. Aaron, and also what about the trustees? Are the two trustees also part of that committee? And who does this committee really answer to? Thank you.
Okay, all good questions, some of which I share. We'll get back to that after Serene. That's her comment. Serene, you're on the stack, right?
Oh, I am on the stack. Please go ahead and answer those questions.
Oh, I'll do what I can. I don't know if I can answer them all. I have the same question about the limit of three people on the committee, so I do want to follow up on that myself. I believe I saw somewhere that the trustees could be part of the committee. I don't really have a great desire to be part of any more committees, because I'm on a few here at WTFW as well. I might want to like sit in or listen in on meetings just to be straight, because, you know, I will be having a certain responsibility, but I think listening in and would be fine with me. So yes, I think it's worth following up on. And again, I think it's also worth determining if it is a committee of the PNB in the same way all the other committees are, or if it's got some other character.
Madam Chair, so, follow-up request for information, Paulina?
Yeah.
What does it mean exactly to be a trustee if you say that you are not sure if you're part of the committee? And you might just be listening in. How do you understand your duties or fiduciary duties to the foundation vis-a-vis your appointment as a trustee?
Yeah, I think they're pretty, I think they're almost not figurehead, but I think I get to affix my signature to things once in a while, and I would probably be one of the people to receive mail on the part of the plans if that were necessary. But I think I knew more about this the first time I read the document, but I would have to read it again because I kind of lost that.
And the document is being shared with?
I did not send that around, huh? I'd be happy to send it, and I will do that. Let me just see. I want to follow up on the number of people, character.
Eileen, for the, I mean,
yeah.
Grace, I'd like to be on the
Yeah.
to clarify.
Okay,
something.
I'm just writing a few notes. Versus the rest. Okay, go ahead, Grace.
I'm sorry, we're on the stack. Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry, Serene, you didn't go yet. I'm so sorry. Go ahead, Serene, you were next.
Okay, so the only legal entity that exists is the Pacifica National Board. Any committee that the board creates for any purpose is a P&D committee, whether it is dealing with internal work or external work. The notion that we could somehow have a committee that is created by the board but is not a board committee or of the board and therefore has no rules, no obligation to follow the bylaws is beyond ridiculous. What are we saying here? I mean, the directors, the 22 directors aren't a club. They comprise the board. It is a legal entity.
Understood.
No, Eileen, you
no, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Every time someone speaks, I have the, you know, you can jump on the staff when you're ready. My questions really aren't directed to you personally. They're directed to the committee. My concerns are being directed
right.
to the committee, so you don't have to intervene.
Sorry. I thought you were done. That's all.
Well, if I'm done, Grace is next anyway, but okay. So that is ridiculous on its face, and I will be sending us a motion, asking us to take up a motion shortly that sort of addresses. That's the kind of thing that invites investigation, because it sounds a little crazy, you know, with due respect for everyone who really does have a mental health problem, which we do in Pacifica, have a lot of people who have issues.
I have seen that myself.
Hey, listen. So that's one thing. The other thing is I am unclear as to what the criteria is for a, quote, trustee when, I mean, is there a financial expertise required? We have someone who's a temporary contractor who's leaving the foundation. We have someone who's affiliated with someone who's from an affiliate station and may or may not return to the board next year, but that's true of anyone. But I'm saying it's not, you know, what is the criteria for becoming a trustee, and how did this seemingly random group of people, no offense intended, get chosen?
Well, I did not. Okay. I guess Grace was at. Was Grace on the stack after you? Yes. Grace, why don't you go ahead and
put me? Please put me, Adriana. Put me on the stack after Grace. Thank you.
Okay. Grace,
okay,
go ahead.
I have a draft minutes of the open session of the PNB on August 30th, 2018. Which completely describes everything about this committee, establishment of administrative committee, and appointment of trustees. I believe, beg to differ with something that Serene had to say, and that is the National Board. There are, in the bylaws, there are standing committees of the National Board, and the National Board may set up other committees. However, The National Board has also set up working groups that are not considered formal committees in the past. And so not every group that the PNB sets up is a formal committee. Now, however, this is not a committee of the PNB per se. It doesn't have to follow the committee strictures in the bylaws. The word committee was stated by the administrator,
the third party administrator,
pension plan administrator. So now this was all discussed and resolved by the National Board. I would suggest that everybody read the minutes that I'm going to forward to them before spending time on this committee. And if you have an objection to this, now all of these arguments came up on the National Board were discussed and voted on, and this has been resolved. Any change in this should either go through the National Board rescinding this motion that was approved, all these decisions that were approved by the National Board. If there's some problem with the procedure or the way it was done, and any of you, Adriana, is on the National Board, or Serene, you may want to take it up with the Governance Committee. But I don't think there's any benefit to rehashing all of this, especially with inadequate information by this committee. We have work to do in this committee. I will send you the information. It's in this set of minutes to this group. And after you study them, I suggest that if you want to bring it back into this committee, you study what the actual committee is and what the trustees are, et cetera.
Okay. Thank you, Grace. I'm going to say that, again, this committee that we're discussing isn't really the purview of our audit committee, so we really don't need to spend a lot more time on this. Adriana, do you have something? I hope it'll be short.
Yeah. Well, Madam Chair, the first thing that we need to do is stop spreading misinformation. And clearly, first of all, it's not minutes of the August, the last meeting of the PMB. We don't have the minutes, and those minutes were not approved to start with. But I want to point to everybody that the resolution, the name of, I'm just reading from the resolution, said resolution of the Pacific and National Board, establishment of administrative committee and appointees of trustees. Then you read the purpose, and the first one is approve the administrative committee chapter, B, appoint members of the administrative committee and delegate to them certain specific fiduciary obligations of Pacifica under the plan, et cetera, right? But if you see, this committee is obviously a committee that the PMB is organizing. And clearly, when we talk about the bylaws doesn't say that all the committees, not only the standing committees, all the committees of the board, the members need to be selected and specifically say why. And the reason why is because if not, a simple majority can dictate and can really be the only deciders. Let me finish, Madam Chair. The idea of originally the bylaws, and I think that was the idea of Lou Hill by itself too, was that the board, just a single transferable method of voting, protect the majorities. The minorities against the majority overpowering them. That's why when you select with simple transferable votes, three people cannot be selected just for the majority. That will allow a board, that's why it's an obligation in every committee. Because and it's true. If you read through the thing, it says that you can change, the board can change the members. The only difference with that, Madam Chair, is once that the members are there, the majority keep having their numbers, and they one by one can do whatever they wish. That's why the obligation is the single transferable method of voting. Because
thank you, Adriana. This is a PMB matter, and I'm going to call a halt to discussion of this topic.
Let me finish something.
Excuse me. No, we are done with this topic of the committee established by the PMB.
Masquila is the director, and she was there, too, in the PMB meeting.
But we're still talking about, Adriana, please. We're done talking about this. It's a PMB matter. I was relating events in the evolution of pension plan stuff, but I guess this topic doesn't really belong here anyway, so we're going to stop discussing it now. It'll have to be taken up in the PMB, and that's that.
This is Serena.
Yes, Serene.
Okay, so I'm about to send you guys that motion that I mentioned. But I may also get dropped because I'm on the West Side Highway. So if that happens, if someone can read it, then I'll reach out and send it to them.
Okay. All righty. Let's see. Okay, so let us move on then.
Well,
so the pension plan audits are moving forward.
Hello?
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm
yes. What? Yeah.
I'd like them to take up the motion.
I haven't seen it yet. Oh, there it is. No, I don't want to get involved in this. I personally don't want to. If somebody else wants to put this forward, fine.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair.
I will communicate whatever it is that the group decides.
Madam Chair, I made a motion. You don't. Your personal preference is irrelevant. If you're ruling that the motion is out of order, then that's one thing, in which case I will challenge that ruling. But you can't decide you're not going to discuss it. It's not a private discussion.
I believe it's out of order. Again, it's about a PMB committee.
This is Grace.
Not
I have a point of order.
Audit committee.
May I
have a point of order regarding this.
One person at a time.
This is Serene.
Grace, go ahead with your point of order.
I'm
sorry.
To raise a challenge. If she would like to speak to the challenge, which is what's on the floor, she can do so after I speak.
I'm sorry, Serene. I thought you were done speaking. And... Grace,
I need to rule it out of order and then recognize Grace instead of acknowledging that I had said if you rule it out of order, I would be challenging you. So when did you
all
think
right.
I was done speaking?
I don't know. I don't know all these. I'm not that great at Robert's rules. I'm very sorry. I believe it's out of order. And
I challenge the ruling of the chair.
You challenge it. I don't know what happens after that.
You explain why you think is out of order. I explain why I think it's in order, and the committee votes.
I explained already that I believe it's out of order because it doesn't pertain to this committee.
Request for information: can the member of the committee who made a motion that is being challenged, that is being ruled out of order, can they restate the motion, please?
Sure, let me try to...
I'll just read, I can read it from the email.
Whereas the bylaws require the use of single transferable voting, SCV, wherever more than one seat is available, the PMB Audit Committee recommends that Foundation Council advise whether the Pension Plan Administrative Committee created by the PMB and consisting of PMB members is for the purposes of the bylaws of PNB committee.
Thank you.
And I said I believed it was out of order. Serene challenges that. My reasons for saying it's out of order is because it is not an audit committee issue or point or anything that we will be that pertains to our work or our duties, except indirectly.
May I? I do get to speak to it. I think others may also get to speak to it, but I don't know. Someone who knows Robert Jules better than me can speak on that part. We are faced with a situation where we are several hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, in that the foundation has not made the requisite donations, contributions, including, I believe, perhaps even passing on payments that had been withheld from people's accounts. It's not been properly paid into the pension system. And this is a problem. We're faced right now with a pension audit because things weren't done right. I don't think we should pretend that the so-called fix is being done right. If we have a quote, this is the point at which you intervene to make sure that we're not back in the situation again. So to say it's not our purview when in fact it is an audit function that is bringing up this entire mess to light, I think it's what we start looking into it. We don't like what we see, so we say, don't show us anymore. I think that's ridiculous. I think we need to make sure that.
A while back. So Grace, then Adriana. Go ahead, Grace.
Okay. First of all, this whole point is not valid because when you have one seat open, for instance, or two seats open, and there are only two candidates who volunteer or nominate themselves or are nominated for those two seats, there's no necessity for any kind of single transferable voting or STV or IRV. That was the case when this committee was formed in a legal vote of the PNB. That was the case when we appointed Eileen Rosen to be the chair of this committee. There was only one candidate, Eileen. Therefore, she was appointed. There was no necessity for any kind of IRV or STV vote. The same occurred with the formation of this committee by the Pacifica National Board. There were four volunteers, only four. All four of them was accepted. There was no necessity for an IRV vote because nobody else volunteered or nominated themselves. No one else was nominated. Okay? The committee was formed in a legal vote of the PNB. Later on, several meetings later, there was a challenge, but the committee had already been formed. The challenge was considered by the PNB and voted down. It was in a point of order. Any one of you can listen to those minutes. This is listen to the meeting. It was an open meeting, and this has been completely resolved by the PNB. Therefore, if somebody wants to take it up, they can have their director take it up on the PNB or go to the governance committee. But there was no necessity for an IRV vote because everyone who volunteered to be on this committee was accepted as being on the committee. It was only later on that committee was challenged. And that challenge was voted down by the PNB.
Point of order. Point of order, Madam Chair.
Grace, did you finish your comment?
Pardon me?
You are finished, Grace?
I'm done.
I'm asking. Okay, Serene?
Adriana for the staff.
Right. You
Julie
were first.
To the staff.
I believe Serene had a point of order, which she may state.
I have a point of order in that what Grace Aaron was talking about has nothing at all to do with my motion. My motion is to seek advice from the from counsel as to what isn't at best, you know, and doesn't matter how many times we're sued as to whether or not it was done properly and it's been resolved that everyone's happy and this is what you need to, you know, none of that has anything to do with my motion. My motion says we are concerned about how this committee was formed and we would like the attorney, foundation counsel, person who's legally, you know, responsible for providing us with information, to say whether or not a committee of the board, created by the board, of members of the board, is a board committee. That has nothing to do with whether or not people were given, and my experience with this board, and I do listen to the meetings, is that information is never provided in a timely manner. People end up voting on stuff that they don't even know what it means. It seems to me that it's been made clear tonight that, you know, and I trust your intentions, Eileen, but you don't even know what the job of the trustee is going to be. But you're now a trustee. It speaks to how this board has been operating, where, you know, at the last minute, a bunch of information
okay.
is thrown at people, and then people are asked, excuse me, and then people are asked to volunteer to do something without it being explained. So I'm not going to speak.
Thank you, Karen. I second the motion.
I second the motion. Shall we put it to a vote, Madam Chair?
One second. Let me just get my ducks in a row here.
Madam Chair?
Let's see.
Adriana?
Yes, I would like to hear from the people on the stack before we go to the vote. Adriana, go ahead.
Yes. To start with, Madam Chair, the reality, and we, even in this committee, we discussed this. The PMB, in closed session, July 12, 2018, and you have the report out because it was closed session. And in that closed session, the only thing that was voted was establish an administrative committee for the pension plan and choose mm-hmm. third-party pension plan administrator. It means that it's not true that the members were selected. The members were selected in the last PMB meeting, in that open meeting. And if you look at part of what is part of this committee that they create, they can appoint the trustees for the plan. It means that they can replace you and Alex Randall that are the trustees. That is very clear. That is part of what they can do. And something important too, Madam Chair, what Robert Motion said is as counsel, because this is a breach of the bylaws. And I understand Grace Allen, yes, again, gained the floor with a point of order, and you know that that is not a point of order. She gained the floor to give her opinion. She has the right to give her opinion, but no using a point of order to reach the floor in front of everybody else. Okay?
Thank you, Adriana.
I believe that the motion, setting motion, is absolutely right and belongs to this committee because we are the audit committee. They are creating something that will be totally out of us, you know, and without the real input of the PMB. Doesn't matter that you have the majority to vote. You cannot breach the bylaws and the bylaws and set administrative committee. Period.
Okay, thank you. Let me ask you all something. Let me ask something. Is there some reason that the PNB can't request that Foundation Council, you know, make the same motion within the PNB rather than from the Audit Committee?
Because they have a simple majority, Madam Chair. That's why they shut the rest up. That's why they mute some of us when we need to bring these legal questions, because they don't want to deal with the reality.
I'm sorry, Julie is on the stack. Julie, please go ahead.
So, yes, thank you. So one thing, just I'll state a personal opinion for a moment, which is I feel wholly unprepared to vote on this particular motion because it does strike me that this is really PMB matters. We have some people on this committee who are on the PMB, but those of us who weren't on the PMB, I mean, if I'd have known we were going to be talking about this at this length, I would have tried to listen to that PMB meeting, but since I didn't, you know, I'm kind of like, all I can do is vote on who I think I believe, which is sort of not a really very good way to go about this. The reason I got on the stack really was, I don't remember exactly who said it, maybe it was Serene, but pointing out that the argument for this being kind of in the purview of the audit committee was that the whole reason that we were doing the pension audit, you know, that made it the purview of this. And I just wanted to remind people that the reason that we had to audit, do a pension audit, was because we crossed a threshold for the number of people not having anything to do with whether it was fully funded or not, but that we crossed the threshold on the number of people, and that's why we did the audit. That the audit may have turned up some of this stuff, you know, is important, but it's not the purview of the audit committee, I think, to fix the stuff, except to make the recommendations, you know, make sure that the audit is properly forwarded to the PNB, et cetera. That's how I understand things. Thank you.
Paulie,
thank you, Julie. I'm sorry, Paulina, go ahead.
So the pension plan is part of the audit, as far as I understand, and it is what is delaying the audit. So it is incumbent upon the members of the audit committee to have full access to the information available to make recommendations to the PMB. Therefore, I think the motion is very much in order, as it being a motion to request more information from the from our legal counsel as per situation of the creation of this committee. We I don't believe the motion attempts to in any way impinge on the authority of the PNB or attribute to the audit committee functions that it does not have. It simply requests for transparency. This is a motion for transparency. Madam Chair, I hope that you can see it that way and that we can have a vote right now. And other members of the committee, I believe that it seems like the certain members of the PNB that had this committee ad hoc committee formed. We have not been sharing information with everybody, and so it's a motion to have the audit committee perform its duties and request more information from legal counsel.
Thank you, Paulina. Let's go to a vote, Madam Secretary. If no one else has anything they want to say, Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll for the votes?
Yes. Eileen Rosen, I'm sorry.
I vote no.
Julie Hewitt.
Abstain.
Okay. Eileen Roberts.
I vote yes.
Jaime Gomez. Ken Lopez.
Jamie Gomez passed.
Ken Lauper.
Yes.
I vote
yes.
No.
Adriana Casney votes yes. Gray Sharon.
No.
James Sagerton.
No.
Adrian LaViolette.
No.
Maskila Washington.
Same.
I'm sorry. Maskila.
Abstain.
Oh, thank you. Let me go back to Jaime Gomez.
Oh, Paulina Vasiliev, yes.
Yes. Pauline vote yes. Pauline Vasiliev. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
sorry. Jaime Gomez?
No.
Is anybody that I didn't take the vote? The vote is 3 yes, 6 no, and 2 abstentions.
All right. This motion did not pass. Thank you, Madam Secretary. So let
I'm
us
sorry,
move
I,
on.
I'm sorry, Eileen, the vote again?
Sorry, Serene?
Can you repeat the vote, please?
Yeah, the secretary said...
3 yes, 6 no, and 2 abstentions.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, let's move on. All right, the next point is... progress on the general audit and the timeline. I sent you all the timeline for the audit. There have been a lot of difficulties for our new financial management people in terms of getting some of the information or finding some of the information they need to get it into the books. It wasn't until today that George Walter of NIDA finally got the access he needed to Great Plains. So now he'll be able to work on things more easily. But he told me that he found that a lot of the bank reconciliations from last year and even the year before had not been posted, that an entire payroll was not posted from 2017, any number of things along those lines. Just, I don't know how that happened, but that's what happened. So NIDA is working hard on cleaning things up and getting the closing numbers so they can actually, they have to close the year, fiscal year 2016. Even though the audit was done and what are called adjusting journal entries were given to everybody or given to Pacifica by the auditors, they have not been entered into Great Plains either. So those need to be put in and, you know, so that the books show the correct closing numbers for 2016, which also then give us opening balances for 2017. Tom is going to be meeting with all financial staff and NIDA on, I think, Wednesday. He was shooting for Wednesday to see where everybody's at in terms of getting their information to NIDA and meeting the requests for information from the auditors that were sent out a week or two ago. excuse me. Nevertheless, there is a fairly ambitious timeline for the audit, but the auditors believe that this can be done, and then they want to move right on to 2018, which is when the NIDA people will really step in and try to get things more uniform among the stations and, you know, get some more uniform procedures and policies in place that will help help everybody do a better job and make things, make all this sort of thing easier. Let's see. I don't know if I should read the timeline aloud for the benefit of our listeners. Basically, well, I don't have the whole thing right in front of me, although I could get it, but we want to have the draft audit done by the middle of November. Can't remember if the date is November 10th or 15th, so that we can put it through its review process, both inside of Pacifica and, you know, through the audit committee and to the PNB and get it signed off on. We have told the California Attorney General's office that we will have it no later than November 30th. So we really want to get that done and not have to go back on what we told California. And that's the plan. But, of course, people have to stick to the timeline. I'm looking for that timeline right now. Here we go. Some of it is technical stuff, but I believe that the auditors are hoping to start field work. Well, it says here the beginning, you know, October 1st, and Scott told me he was thinking that they would do any traveling somewhere around the week of October 15th. Tentatively on site at only the national office, but he's not entirely sure. He's still trying to understand. Most things are going to be channeled through Wondrin at the national office, but he hasn't quite determined yet if he's going to need to make other visits. I think that's what I understood. And that's what I've got on that. And I think, you know, we're all hopeful. If all the stations can get their information to the auditors and to NIDA on time.
Hey, Deanna?
Reasonable.